track 10, and now we come to the last of our news stories. Weir removal improves fish access to Lemon. Fish can now move freely up the River Lemon following the recent removal of a weir that had been blocking access to upstream spawning grounds. The removal of the deteriorating Chipley Mill weir will mean that salmon and other migrating fish will be able to access critical spawning grounds further upstream on Dartmoor. The weir removal will also enhance water quality by supporting the natural movement of sediment. The removal of the weir was funded by the Open Rivers Project. It was part of a wider initiative known as the Lemon Partnership Project to improve passage, to improve fish migration and biodiversity. Chipley Mill Weir was one of the two key barriers that had been identified as contributing to the River Lemon's poor fish status under the Water Framework Directive. This weir removal represents a significant step forward to the strategic catchment-wide approach to restore salmon numbers, a spokesperson from the West Country Rivers Trust said. It builds on previous fish passage work at Bickington and complements broader efforts to restore river health across the Teme catchment, which now sees an impressive 30 kilometres of upstream habitat accessible to migratory fish. According to West Country Rivers Trust monitoring data, salmon have been successfully spawning in the lower reaches of the River Lemon just upstream of Newton Abbott. However, they hadn't been recorded upstream of Bradley Manor Weir since 2010. The data also showed that numerous brown trout, European eel and European bullhead were stuck in the upper catchment because they were constrained by artificial barriers. The West Country Rivers Trust now plans to focus on ongoing monitoring of the river's health and fish populations and improving fish migration and connectivity across the rest of the river, particularly in the area of Bradley Manor Weir.
Teignmouth Opera Day hits the right note. Teignmouth's Alice Cross Centre was alive with the sound of opera last Saturday, September the 27th, as 45 singers gathered in the hall for a full day of music making. The occasion was the centre's very first Come and Sing Opera Day, and according to Alice Cross General Manager Peter Howell, the atmosphere was nothing short of electric. The day was led by Alana Jacobs, who trained operatically at the Royal Northern College of Music and is well known locally as musical director of Teen Choral, Brixham Male Orpheus Choir, Teignmouth Youth Choir and the Rowcroft Choir. Her energy and expertise brought singers of all levels together, with many attendees from local choral societies keen to experience the thrill of singing opera choruses in a large group. Participants worked on five iconic pieces: Polotsvian Dances from Prince Igor by Borodin, Habanera from Carmen by Bizet, The Chorus of the Wedding Guests from Lucia de Lammermoor by Donizetti, The Chorus of the Hebrew Slaves from Nubucco by Verdi, and as a grand finale, a rousing anvil chorus from El Trovatore by Verdi. The singers were supported throughout the day by pianist Anne Ferry, who brought the music to life vividly. Many attendees described the sound that filled the hall as incredible and uplifting, proving that opera truly has the power to move and unite. The Alice Cross Centre hopes its varied events calendar will dispel its reputation as purely being a day centre for the elderly. We're not, Peter affirmed. We're a community centre and we're for everyone. Music continues to be an important part of the centre's activities, and the Opera Day not only celebrated the joy of singing, but also brought people together in friendship and harmony, she added.
Appeal for hand-knitted poppies. An appeal has gone out for more poppies to be made to join the Dawlish Poppy Wall of Remembrance, which will return this November along the railings at Dawlish Bowling Club. More poppies, hand-knitted or crocheted, are needed to add to this year's display. Any poppies donated can be added to the wall on the green fence facing the bandstand from November 1st to the 14th. To fit, poppies must be made to about the size of the palm of a hand, knitted or crocheted in red, with a black centre and two lengths of yarn attached at the centre to tie to the railings. A spokesperson for Dawlish Town Council said, "Every poppy contributed will help create a bigger and more meaningful wall of poppies than ever before. Thank you for sharing your time, creativity, talent to honour and remember."
Zoo pledges animals first amid sale reports. Paignton Zoo has pledged to put the welfare of its animals first amid reports that it has been put up for sale. The zoo has faced a succession of challenges since the first COVID outbreak in 2020, including an outbreak of avian flu, the effects of the cost of living crisis, and problems moving animals between European zoos caused by Brexit. Last year, it cited crippling costs and said huge savings would have to be made. Now it has confirmed that it is looking for potential investments to step in. Reports emerged yesterday that the charity behind the zoo, the Wild Planet Trust, had put the estate, which runs to more than 100 acres, on the market. More than 2,000 animals live on the site, which employs more than 200 people. A statement from the trust said, "Our unwavering commitment remains on providing our animals with the highest level of welfare and husbandry, ensuring all of their physical, emotional, and environmental needs are met. Securing investment will ensure we protect the long-term future of our conservation charity and continue to help halt species decline." The Trust, which also operates Newquay Zoo in Cornwall and a nature reserve at Slapton in South Devon, said confidentiality was crucial to the process of finding new investors. The statement went on, "We have previously shared information regarding the financial challenges that we face, and whilst we have already taken appropriate action to try to ease these challenges, this is another avenue for us to investigate. We will share more information when we are able to." Torbay's Liberal Democrat MP Steve Darling recently launched a plea to the government to step in and save under-pressure zoos. "They are feeling the pressure," he said. "With families having less to spend, these attractions, often reliant on discretionary spend, face an uncertain winter. Also, being held back by delays in animal transfers, moves that once took weeks are now taking months or even years, threatening vital breeding programmes and undermining some of our region's most important visitor attractions." Mr. Darling said it added up to a crisis in the local tourism economy and the government should step in. He added, "Paignton Zoo is not only a leading conservation centre, but also a cornerstone of our tourist economy. It opened in 1923 and recently celebrated its centenary."
Sea Lion wheels trail People's Choice Awards. A sculpture of a sea lion was the public's favourite in this year's Tynmouth Recycled Art in the Landscape Trail exhibition. More than 900 people voted for their favourite sculpture after seeing the recycled art along the Tynmouth seafront between July and September. The sea lion was designed to show the bold action needed to protect our oceans. It was created by Make It Thursday, a social and crafting group for carers and those at risk of isolation. The Environmental Award went to Be Aware by Lou and Chris Chapman, which highlighted how invasive species can impact the fragile balance of our plant's ecosystems. Hazeldown Primary School's recently formed Eco Committee won the Community Award for its underwater biodiversity sculpture, and the Outdoor School in Tiverton was awarded the Tynmouth Art Society Artist Prize for Plastosaurus. Next summer, Trail will celebrate its 20th anniversary and organisers are already planning special events. And there are some lovely photographs of the sculptures made with the recycled items. There's a wonderful photograph of the lion, complete with his rag mane and his fishnet bottoms. And a buggy made with recycled lifeboats and chairs. And of course, the lovely bee, which I can't tell you what is made out of recycled, but it is absolutely lovely.
A new book focuses on Dartmoor artisans. A photojournalist has focused in on Dartmoor-based blacksmiths, basket makers, wood turners in new book. Susie Bennett moved to the Moor from London more than 10 years ago and is now championing the creatives of the Moor with her book Artisans of Dartmoor. She has photographed and interviewed 16 craftsmen who are reviving and preserving some of Britain's oldest and rarest trades. Susie said, "I've been captivated by Dartmoor's heritage craft ever since I visited my local blacksmith, Greg Abel, in his Victorian forge to commission a curtain rail for my wall. It was like entering a time warp that was completely unaffected by the modern world. From there, Greg introduced me to the village potter, who introduced me to the weaver, who introduced me to the woodturner. I was completely captivated by the different craftsmen and their work. Being from London, I was suddenly put in touch with the creative and making processes, which was a real first for me. Back in 2017, she founded the Dartmoor Artisan Trail, an arts, craft and food network linking Dartmoor's traditional craftspeople, artists and producers. The book, The Artisans of Dartmoor, collates the work of some of the craftsmen from the trail into a 244-page hardback book. Traditional skills in many parts of the UK are dying out, but on Dartmoor the craft scene is thriving, and it's thanks to a combination of factors. One, the moor's expansive landscapes, which inspire free thinking and creativity. An abundance of raw materials and a supportive, collaborative, creative community. Some of the talented craftsmen in the book include hide tanners, wood turners, willow weavers and letterpress printers. And surrounding this article are some beautiful photographs which show some willow animals made by Catherine Miles, Greg Abel in his Victorian forge, going well back in time, Alison showing off some of her beautiful pottery, and Jessie Watson-Brown with the ethical leather goods she creates using ancient tanning techniques. And finally, a lovely photograph of Susie Bennett herself and her very cute dog, Ziggy.